Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's what I want to talk about today. I'm reminded of the scripture in Exodus 19. This is a place where God gave the children of Israel a command. You remember that Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. They could have gone immediately to the Promised Land, but God led them down into the peninsula. They spent some time going down and had some experiences. And then they came to Mount Sinai. Estimated by scholars that there were about 2 million people there, wrapped around that mountain. The mountain where Moses had been called to the ministry, where the burning bush was, and where God told him that he would bring the children of Israel there. It was in this setting that the command was given. Can you imagine the atmosphere and the thoughts of Moses as those children were there and as God appeared to him and this command was coming? The command was this: "And now if you will diligently listen to me and keep my covenant, these promises will take place. Then you will be a special possession of mine out of all of the nations, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." The people responded to that command. They said, "All that the Lord has commanded, we will do." And then God told Moses, "Go to the people and get them ready." This is what the scripture says. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and make them wash their clothes, and be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in sight of all of the people. You must set boundaries for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves not to go up on the mountain nor touch its edge. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death.'" It's from these verses that the message comes today. I call it, "Prepare to Meet Your God." Three more passages of Scripture. I'm reminded of the book of Amos and the Scripture there in chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. "I sent plagues among you as I did in Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camp. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Here God was dealing with judgment, but any time we come into the presence of God, we need to prepare to meet God. We need to prepare to meet Him in worship. We need to prepare to meet Him in death. We need to prepare to meet Him in life. I'm also reminded of the scripture in 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life." A New Testament, quoting the Old Testament concept. We have the same command. And then in Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." As I study the scripture, I believe that those words can be interchanged. I think sometimes we find them interchanged as we study scripture. We could say, "Love the Lord your God with all your soul, and with all your heart, and with all your mind." I'll put the words in any order we choose. The same concept and the same idea is, prepare everything you have when you come to meet God. Now, in this command to prepare the people, God told Moses to tell the people and to get them to wash their clothes. Can you imagine that? 2 million people in the desert with not much water, and God saying, wash their clothes. That must have been quite an incident within itself. But God was not really talking about the clothes, was He? He was talking about a symbol there. Get yourself clean. He was saying, get your soul clean. Get your sins forgiven. He was talking about repentance. He was talking about forgiveness. Get your soul clean. The first step in preparing to meet God is recognizing God as the awesome being He is. Just as a student should respect their teacher, and a child should respect their parents, and a player should respect his coach, we should respect God. He is the one who made us, protects us, and has drawn us to Himself. All of the spectacular sights and sounds of this account, the cloud, the thunder, the lightning, the trumpet blast, the trembling mountain, all are designed to impress upon the people the power and the glory of the Lord. Before the Israelites can meet with God, they need to have that appropriate sense of reverence, gratitude, and awe. We do not meet with God as equals. He is our superior. In the book of Hebrews, we are told, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. A.W. Tozer writes, no one can know true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. Seems to me that we have lost some of that reverential fear. Sometimes we are overly and inappropriately familiar with the Almighty. Sometimes we relate to God as the great gift giver. And when we do this, we diminish who He is. Before we meet with God, we must remind ourselves that we are about to meet our holy God. He is holy. We are sinners in need of mercy and grace. He is all-powerful. We are weak. He is wise and sees all. We think we are wise, but we can see only the present. He is the Creator. We are the created. He is the standard by which we define and measure our lives. I read this account of a man's thoughts. I yearn for a clean heart, a pure soul, free from the blemish and ugly stain of sin, and be clean and fresh, pure and holy. I know that just expecting this won't cut it. Every day I need to commit to keeping it clean, like taking a shower or brushing my teeth or washing my clothes. It is a task, but not one that I can manufacture. All I can do is be willing to be in God's presence and to ask Him to create in me a clean heart, a clean soul. I have to take the step towards God, to confess my sin, to turn from wrong practice, and to focus on the things of God. This is the commitment we need to make to be in the presence of God. And today, make this amazing passage your prayer. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Your presence, and take not Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore within me the joy of Your amazing salvation, and give me a wonderful life through Your free Spirit. Amen. As we prepare to meet God, as we are in the presence of Almighty God, let us make sure that we get our souls clean. Come in repentance, confession, and ask God to forgive you of your sinful nature and your sinful acts. The second thing that we see in this passage is, sanctify them, God told Moses. Here I think we could say, get your heart right. Get in touch with God.
talking about faith. He's talking about the surrender of your life to God. Lord, thank you for taking care of my sin, but I want to surrender my life to you. Now, we're differentiating between these two aspects of the salvation experience, but repentance and faith are really one coin with two sides. Whenever we genuinely repent, we also put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to make sure that we genuinely repent and that we truthfully put our commitment, our trust, our surrender, our yielding to Jesus Christ. Here he said, sanctify them. And the people said, all that the Lord has commanded, we will do. That's putting their trust and commitment, their surrender. All that the Lord has commanded, we're going to do that. Lord, thank you for taking care of our sin, but now, Lord, we want to follow you. In the book of Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Jesus dealt with that situation, and we still deal with that situation. How easy it is to go through the motions of worship without truly worshiping. The second step of preparing ourselves is to make sure that we have a right relationship with Jesus. When we come to salvation through Christ, His sacrifice covers our sinfulness. We no longer need to be afraid of God's wrath. It has been poured out on Christ on the cross in our place. However, we still must respond to God's offer of grace. You and I must make a choice. Either we will depend on our goodness or on His goodness. We must choose whether to rely on ourselves or to rely on Jesus. If we want to meet with God, we must come to Him in the way that He has prescribed. And for us today, that is through Jesus Christ and the cross. Even as believers, it is important to remember every time we come before God that we are there by His grace and by His invitation. He is indeed an awesome God. An awesome God of incredible power and might. But it is also true that He loves you and me, and He invites us to be His own. When we forget this, worship becomes an empty, meaningless, and even disrespectful ritual, or it becomes a superficial exercise in emotionalism. And instead of moving toward Him, we are actually moving away from Him. I'm reminded also of Joshua. In chapter 3, Joshua told the people, after God had told him, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I think he too was saying, get your heart right. There is a realization of sinfulness. We must realize that we have acts of sins and we have a sinful nature. Not just one time way back there, but it continues. There needs to be a continual repentance from our sinfulness. And there needs to be a recommitment of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Repent and now get your hearts right. You see, God can do something with a soft heart, but He refuses to work through the hard heart. Moses and Pharaoh illustrate this principle. God revealed Himself to both of those men. Moses on Mount Sinai, the burning bush, and while there was some reluctance, he eventually surrendered to God, and we see through his life his heart becoming softer and softer. The more he said yes to God, the more he obeyed God, the softer the heart became, and God was able to speak through him and to use him in his ministry. But he also spoke to Pharaoh. He revealed himself to Pharaoh. He wanted Pharaoh to see through the plagues who God was. And there were times when Pharaoh even said, "I know you're right. Your God is the true God, and I'm a sinner. Will you pray for me? I want the grace from your God." But then he would change his mind. And every time he would change his mind, the heart got harder and harder and harder and harder. So eventually, God had to destroy him. But it's true today. The more we refuse God, the more we turn away from God, the harder the heart becomes. And the more we respond and say yes to God, the softer the heart comes. We see this in the story of the woman taken in adultery. She had a soft heart. And Jesus was able to deal with her and to bring her to himself, while the men who were there to stone her had a hard heart. God couldn't speak to them. I remember spiritual, sensitive Samuel. The Scripture tells us that the Word of God didn't come to men very often then. My interpretation is that the Word of God was still coming out, but the hardness of men's heart caused it to bounce off and they couldn't hear it. But Samuel heard the voice of God because of that sensitive, soft heart. And you know that's true if you have children. How easy it is to discipline a child with a soft heart. How difficult it is to discipline a child with a hard heart. The same is true with God. So this morning, let's get our hearts right. Let's make sure that we yield and surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's let God soften our hearts a little more. The third thing that we see in the Scripture is you must set boundaries for the people. I think we could say here, get your mind set. Get determined to follow Jesus. It's talking about discipleship. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart for I have set my mind on your laws. Daniel 10:12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Colossians 3:2-5. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ with God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Set your mind on spiritual things. Set your mind on the things of God. Get it off the things of the world. A man and his daughter had a great Dane. They dearly loved this dog, named him Samson. He was big and strong and muscular. Like his namesake, he also had a fondness for wandering. They tried everything to keep Samson at home. But he'd dig under the fence, or he'd climb over it, or he'd break the chain, however they had him attached. So they bought the best-selling book on the subject of training dogs. It was entitled, No Bad Dogs. One night the daughter said, "Dad, let me read you a paragraph from this book." And that's what I want to read to you, this paragraph. In a dog's mind, a master or a mistress to love, honor, and obey is an absolute necessity. The love is dormant in the dog until brought into full bloom by an understanding owner. Thousands of dogs appear to love their owners. They welcome them home with enthusiastic wagging of the tail and jumping up. They follow them about their houses happily. And to the normal person seeing the dog, the affection is true and deep. But to the experienced dog trainer, this outward show is not enough. The true test of real love takes place when the dog has got the opportunity to go out on its own as soon as the door is left open by mistake and it goes off and often doesn't return for hours. That dog loves only its home's comforts and the attention it gets from the family. It doesn't truly love the master or the mistress as they fondly think. True love in dogs is apparent when a door is left open and the dog still stays happily within earshot of its owner. The real test of Christianity isn't seen in our work, or our activity, or even in our theological purity. It is found in this. When we have the opportunity to wander away, to disobey, to leave God's presence, do we choose instead to stay close to Him, to abide in Him, to obey Him? I'm afraid too many of us are like the Apostle Paul, who said, "O wretched man that I am, I see the things I ought to be doing, and yet I don't do them. I see the things I should not be doing, and yet I do them." God is working with us in our salvation experience, and we need to get our souls clean. We need to get our hearts right, and we need to set our minds, "I'm going to follow God wherever I am." So let's get our minds set to abide and to obey Jesus Christ. So this morning, let us get prepared to meet God. Prepared to meet Him in death. We could die at any time. Are you ready? We need to get prepared to meet Him in life. Are you ready? We need to get prepared to meet Him when He comes again. And we need to get prepared to meet God as we worship Him. So, get your soul clean. Get your heart right. Get your mind set. Let me close by reading Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. This is from The Message. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. As Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let's do it.